I mentioned earlier about 4 years ago, got a good friend. I won't mention who it is by no means, but I asked him. I said, "You been going to church?" And he said, "No, I've been playing for the other team more lately." And I guess we both sort of grinned a little bit. Boy, I thought about that so many times since then. I wished I'd never grinned with him about that. And I guess it's been about 3 weeks ago. I knew when he said that day, I was going to have to preach along this way sometime or another. And it was something happened about 3 weeks ago reminded me of it. So I've asked the Lord to help us with it. And I pray that I ain't studied this and thought about it so much that I've took. We don't want to take the Lord out of it. And we can get to thinking we understand it a little bit, and we don't. And we need the Lord. But I'd ask you today is what team you're playing for. And there's only two. There's the saved and the unsaved. And if you're unsaved, you can't even consider playing on the Lord's team until you're saved. But I'll say this, you can be saved by God's grace, and if you ain't careful, you can end up playing for the wrong team. Just pray for us. I want to take a reading lesson out of Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to read a couple places, and we'll take a reading lesson, then a text, and we'll have some other things we're going to look at. But we need the Lord. In the verse 27, in the 22nd verse, it says, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, and so much that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is this not the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doeth cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom is divided against itself, is brought to desolation, and every city and house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, and how then shall his kingdom stand? And if Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, and the kingdom of God is come unto you, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." And we're going to go over here and take out of Mark and chapter 9, John asked a question here, and we quote this sometimes, but he said, "And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbid him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part." And so that's sort of explaining what he just said over there a while ago in Matthew chapter 12. He cast out a devil out of one there, and the Pharisees said he was casting out devils in the name of Beelzebub. And he told them, he said, if a house is divided, it cannot stand. And so a lot of times we look at that, and it will. I mean, you have a house, the definition is family, and when the family of God has problems or division among them, it cannot stand. But he's talking about here dividing the two teams here. He's talking about Satan being in your house. Now, I want you to pay attention today when Satan moves in and begins to work and you begin to play on the wrong team. before you know it, your house will not stand. And so he goes over there, and then and Mark says, there's one that's casting out devils, and thy name that falleth not us. Should we forbid him? He said, well, forbid him not. It's no way no man can do anything good in my name unless they be for. So I want you to realize today how we need to make sure we're playing on the right team. And when somebody is on the right team, we need to encourage them in every way we can, not forbidding them, but encourage them instead of trying to tear them down like we do a lot today. We need to try to encourage them to do better. But listen, what we end up doing if we're not careful today was when we see somebody playing on the wrong team, we're trying to cheer them on. Listen to me, we need to stay away from that. I begin to think about when me and Marty, Josh was a little boy, Jeannie was a little girl, Liz was on her T-ball team up there, and those little bitty kids, and I don't know where y'all go to T-ball at. I know they have it different places, but up here in Lafayette, they have the airports right there next to it, and all these kids that get out there in the outfield, you get them out there, and Marty was always dealing with the infield. I dealt with those out in the outfield, the ones that basically they was looking at all the airplanes, and they were standing here gazing, and I thought about those scriptures over here, and the angels asked them, why stand ye here gazing? This Jesus that was carried up will come back in the like same manner. Listen to me, a lot of us Christians today, we're just caught up. I believe the Lord's coming back. I believe he'll come back any time. But if what he was saying to them, why are you standing here? Don't just stand here and wait for him to come back. Do the job that he's been given unto you. So them little kids, they just stand out there, the ball will be hit, and roll right by them, go to the fence, and you're yelling, hey, wake up here, go get the ball. And they're standing there. And that's what we're doing. Half the time, just standing gazing. Lord, when are you going to come back? Well, come, Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And lost people dying going to hell all around us. We're dropping the ball because we're not paying attention. Listen, don't just stand gazing. Do the work that you've been given. And then I got to thinking about Addie when she was a little one, and Logan has, and Easton did just a little bit. The basketball, y'all ever do the little ones basketball? Oh, boy. Oh, you talking about hard to watch. And sometimes, I will tell you, it's hard to watch my fellow Christians. And sometimes it's hard to watch me. But listen, them kids, they'll have the ball. They'll get the ball, and they're trying to bounce it around. Next thing you know, one of them will turn around, going back to the other goal, and they're shooting it. And everybody's saying, how? No, wrong goal, wrong goal. Amen. Listen to me. You ain't careful, you'll find yourself shooting at the wrong goal, trying to score for the wrong team. And when that happens, we need to be yelling, telling them, stop, don't do that. But should we encourage them and say, it's okay, that's all right, go ahead, it makes you happy, you get a free shot? Listen to me, that ain't the way it works. That they're those little bitty fellas. I got to look it up the last 2 or 3 weeks about NBA players, and I found it ain't too many NBA players that get the ball and go down the wrong end and dunk it. They just don't do it. Not much, but they still messed up. I finally found one where somebody missed a free throw, and guess what? The opposite team, he comes through here and grabbed her and just wham, hung on the rim, and everybody's going, slam dunk there in the wrong goal. Everybody's like, even the referee didn't know what to do. They was us all like, what are you doing? Don't we do that from time to time? If we ain't careful, we find ourselves playing on the wrong team. Now, little bitty kids, When you first get saved and you come a member of the church, I ain't saying it's okay to sin. I'm not. But listen, you're going to probably shoot the wrong goal a few times. But there comes a time in your life that you should mature enough. Amen. That you should be grounded enough. Amen. That you should know better. That you know. Listen, if there's no defense, then Satan's saying, go for it. When you're out yonder and you're running down the court by yourself, dribbling the ball, nobody else is around, guess what? There's a problem. If nobody's saying, don't shoot, there's a problem. Listen to me, Satan is going to let you wear it out if you will. And honey, there's way too many times we take the free shot. Listen to me, everybody wants a free shot, but a free shot comes with a price. There was a young man. It happens in football too. I did get to looking up. I found a lot of grade schoolers done it. High schoolers. I seen one and they was tied up state championship game. This kid, they're tied up. They throw the ball in. Time's running out. And guess what he does? They throw the ball into midcourt and goes the wrong way and goes down the under, does a layup. And everybody's just standing watching it. Time runs out. The other team wins. You think, how in the world can that happen? How in the world does it happen to us? You ever find yourself playing on the wrong team? There was a young man moved in here. He had a hard time. But boy, some of y'all went to school. I won't mention his name. But he was good at basketball. That kid could play basketball. He could jump out of the world. Eighth grade, he could dunk a basketball. Barely, but he could dunk it, and he wasn't maybe 6 foot tall. Shoot a three-pointer like nobody's business. I wasn't there that night, I don't know. But they said they come back from halftime, and they throw the ball into him, and he went down. Never did to get to dunk it in a game until then. Dunked it on the wrong goal. Played going that direction the whole time. You know, that's kind of the way it is. You're going the wrong direction. You're on the wrong team the whole time. Then halftime comes. You get saved. You're supposed to go the other way. But if you ain't careful, you end up going right back the same direction you've been going. They said it was so embarrassing for him, he couldn't hardly play the rest of the game. That same kid, he gets to high school, and he's good. These private schools start coming after him, high school private schools, and he ends up going down towards Murfreesboro and playing for a Christian school. And I took him to UT games, and I saw something special in this boy. You know, and you finally, they was going to be playing one night, and I wanted to go. And I went drove down there to watch him play, me and two or three more, and we get down there. And they had a ball team. They do like college, you know. They had a great big guy playing center, and I mean, just every few minutes, he'd go down and ring you. But that wasn't who I come to watch play. The boy had hit several three-pointers that night. And he was getting down towards the end of the game. He come baseline. He was coming from this side here to go there. And he's coming, I thought, he's bringing it. And this kid, he jumps up, and he just goes right up and amongst him. And just, whoa! And he grabbed it, and this right there, and swings around there. And everybody goes, ah! See, there was defense. If Satan thinks you're trying to score,
He'll come after you and do all he can to stop you. Everything he can to stop you. Before he went up, no defense. Satan just lets you go on, take you for a shot. There's a bunch of us are taking free shots. We think we're happy. We think we're doing good. And we're playing for the wrong team. I know what that's like. For a long time, I played for the wrong team. There's only two teams. The Bible says that you can't serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or cling to the other. It says, he talks about where over there in Matthew 25, he'll divide the goats from the sheep. There's only two teams. James said, called them adulterers and adulteress. He said, you lovers of the world. If we're not careful, we find ourselves taking the shots. And listen, sooner or later, just like he did in that game where he went up and dunked it on the wrong goal, can you imagine being an NBA player jumping off somebody's foul shot, best foul shot, and dunking it? That's one thing for them to tip it and trying to get the rebound. But can you imagine how he failed? The shame he failed. I mean, how many times has that video been played over? I looked it up. I found it. I watched it four or five times because I found it pretty amusing myself. It wasn't amusing to him. See, what ends up happening after you take your free shot, the devil will let you shoot that on the wrong goal. He'll let you run to the wrong end of the field and score. He'll do all these things. But there's one that also gives us defense. And he works upon our conscience and upon our heart. He'll let us. You want to run to the wrong end and shoot a three-pointer, Brother James, and the time running out and win the game for the other team, he'll let you take that shot. But then for the next week, the next year, maybe even the rest of your life, he'll remind you of that moment when you took the shot that scored for the own team. I thought about, is any Alabama fans here? Raise your hand. We can say it then. If Tennessee is recruiting a football player, a good football player, and they've chose him, listen to me. He's been chosen to play, signed, name on the books, to come to Tennessee. And then all of a sudden Alabama goes to looking at him. It's a whole lot more fun down here in Alabama. We number one. We win championship games. Won't you come on over here to the other side? I've been chosen. I'm going to play for the Vols. But boy, Alabama looks awful good, don't it? Next thing you know, you decide to go play for the other team. Even though you've been chosen, your name's on the books, you may be enrolled. Listen, it's easy to get on the other team. You say, well, Brother Jeff, you're saying you lose your soul? No, absolutely not. It ain't got nothing to do with you losing your soul. It's got to do with you losing your influence. It's got to do,
I'm going to just tell you, just straight up, I don't care what they are, what kind of preacher they are. When I see them come up on the news, and I don't watch the news no more, but used to when I did, at 6 o'clock, and they said so-and-so, the youth pastor or the senior pastor or whatever pastor he was, has been arrested for molesting children. I want to tell you something that affects me. It don't have to be a missionary Baptist. When they start taking those kind of shots for the other team, it affects us all. Because people sit back and they judge. They look, what are you doing? Just like I watched that video over and over, they won't let it go. If you're going to carry the name of a Christian, quit shooting on the wrong end of the court. Quit standing gazing. Turn around and run towards the right end zone. Amen. Tackle the one on the opposite side. Hit a home run for God. Catch the ball as it goes, fixing to go over the fence. Do something, but don't play for the wrong team. It's killing us. Sin is killing us, and that's what he said. He said, I'm not casting out Satan. Why would Satan cast out his own devils? He ain't gonna do it. That's his team. He's not divided against himself. But I tell you something, God's people are divided. You'll never see Satan shooting on the wrong end of the court. He's always scoring on his end. He'll never take a shot on God's side. Never, ever. Why in the world would we help him? Do you think he needs help? You think we need to lend him a hand? He's got all the help. He's got all the angels he needs. And he's winning. And we're happening. So why are you standing here gazing? Instead of tearing down so much, when we do see somebody... And I tell you, and amongst our own ranks, I ain't just talking about other religions that might be teaching them the true plan of salvation. I'm talking about amongst us. Yep. Amongst our own ranks, because we may not be a member of this certain church, in this certain clique, we'll go out and tear them down, forbid them. Try to run them, burn their name, look for anything we can. I want to tell you, you can score for Satan that way too. If you run a man's name when he ain't done nothing wrong, or a woman's name when they ain't done nothing wrong, I want to tell you, you're hurting God's cause. You're shooting at the wrong goal. You're running towards the wrong end zone. But when we do see somebody doing wrong and we know they're doing wrong, we sure don't need to cheer for them. We're on the same team. I had a young man ask me one time, he said, who is your spiritual leader? I said, God is. He said, you don't understand what I'm talking about. He said, who is your spiritual leader? Who do you look up to? And I said, Jesus Christ. He said, you just don't get it. He said, who tells you what you need to do? I said, the Holy Spirit does. He said, you don't understand. I said, no, you don't understand. Listen, my coach is God. His assistants, if you want to call them that, and their God too, is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And if we're on that team, then we shouldn't be out trying to tear each other down. Why in the world would we do that? There's only one reason we do that. They say these
good coaches. I know on like football games now, coach gets over yonder and he's trying to get a play in. They put all kinds of pictures up in front of them. Keep them from reading signals, reading your mouth even. He knows the signals the devil does. He knows what God's plan is. He knows he's going to be destroyed, and he's doing everything he can to stop that. No, he can't stop it. No, he can't get me. He can't get my soul. But he can get these children. He can get your influence. And he can get our churches. That's why the candlestick gets removed. Because we get to playing on the wrong team. That's how a house gets divided. Sin is what divides. It divides families. It divides churches. It divides a nation. So for 4 years, I walked around thinking about what I should have said that day. Bud, quit playing for the wrong team. But what he said it. Lately I've been playing for the wrong team. And you just sort of comes off and you can't help it. You just sort of just smile. Have you been praying for the wrong team? We're not careful when somebody does go up over the defense and right over Satan and slam dunks it. Instead of cheering and being excited, we'll get jealous and say, why can't I jump that high? Why can't I shoot a three-pointer? Some of us barely can dribble a ball. I watched somebody like some of these brothers, and I won't name names, but I see them stand up here and preach, and I think, boy, if I could just preach like that. But some of us, sometimes we're just bench warmers. There's nothing wrong with that.
Amen.
There's nothing wrong with showing up at every game.
Amen. Yep.
And supporting. I'll never forget what Danny said to Brad. Brad playing basketball. They was coming home, and Danny fussed at him all the way home and said, son, you didn't do nothing to help them all night. And he said, well, I don't reckon I hindered them, though. If you can't dunk it, if you can't shoot a three-pointer, if you can't bounce the ball, dribble it between your legs, if you can't do none of those things, at least don't hinder anything. Don't shoot the wrong goal. Don't hinder. Be a good bench warmer. Ain't nothing wrong with that. A matter of fact, sometimes I'd like to be a bench warmer. Sometimes you get thrown out yonder in the game when you don't feel like you're not ready. Be what God called you to be. Walk worthy of your vocation.
Amen.
Do what He'd have you to do. Don't get so caught up and all. And when you do get a chance to slam dunk it over Him, go up and rip it down. Hang on to swing guards. Look at him a while. What do you think about me now, Satan? But more often than not, he's going to get in your face. And if he's not getting in your face, then you're probably shooting the wrong goal. That's my thought. I carried this one for a while, and we didn't dunk it. I probably was 2 foot short on my free throw. But we got it off of us, nonetheless.